one of the incredible realities as we sing, seated with our Lord Jesus Christ and with the Father and Holy Spirit, is that a song like that, Lord, your blood is rewriting history. And it's so beautiful that no matter the mess up of history, the blood of Jesus is believed and be able to see the destiny being restored of a nation, the destiny being restored of people's lives, the blood of Jesus, who has reconciled all things back to himself. And so sometimes when you sing those songs, you say the destiny of our nation, you know, you put nation's name in or a town's name in, etc., and it just makes it very personal. Good. Okay, Father, we want to thank you that this incredible, precious blood of your Son Jesus that has paid the price for our freedom. Life-giving blood. And we want to thank you for the atonement. We want to thank you, Jesus, in just letting your body be that sacrifice and just pouring out your blood so that you dealt with the wages of sin, and that was death and separation and all the reality of being under the control of Satan. What a privilege, Lord Jesus, the power of your blood of taking us out of the dominion of darkness and bringing us into your kingdom through the blood of Jesus. And we want to thank you that your blood, Lord, has changed our lives. Your blood, Jesus, has took us out of being controlled by the power of sin, and has brought us into the reality of Holy Spirit's life within us. Your life, we partake in your quality of life and have eternal life with you, Father. What a destiny shift that took place. We want to thank you this morning. And as we spend time again, Lord, we want to thank you that you are again sharing with us your truths, because you have placed us in a community. You have placed us where we are because you love the people of our towns. You love the people of our nations. You love the people in our workplace and our schools. And you are sharing with us your truths to be involved with this mighty war of yours, Lord, just setting captives free. But I thank you, Lord Jesus, that what's one of the things that you are doing here is just like when the kings of old would go into battle, because you had made covenant with David, they could go with confidence in you, knowing that because of a covenant and you are with them, they could destroy the enemy. By faith, they conquered kingdoms. By faith, they won many, many battles. And you are showing us, Jesus, you are the King of Kings. You are the Lord of Lords. And you triumphed over all in the enemies in your incredible death and resurrection. So we can come in your name with that faith, that God, that confidence, that boldness, that as we go, Lord, we're not alone. As you said, you were with us always to the very end of the age. And we can go, Lord Jesus, led by you as the King of Kings. And we can go with Lord Jesus and just be so involved in setting people free that's been held captive by Satan, been held captive by the power of sin, and see them coming into your kingdom. So I thank you again, Holy Spirit, for truth that you're sharing and just giving us such purpose, such insights, and just encouraging us to be bold in you, Jesus, and who you are. And we thank you for this moment of history. Through you, Jesus Christ, we say yes and amen. Amen. Good. I think this morning, again, it's always, for me, it's always a very significant time that we come together. I want to read from Hebrews chapter 5, and then we're going to go and do, again, just recapping a lot. In just the year 2020, the word that God gave for me to decree was Isaiah 61. That incredible passage of scripture where the Spirit of God is upon Jesus Christ, anointed to preach the good news, set captives free, etc. And we released that and decreed that because we knew that from that moment, for all the rest of our life here on earth, we're going to be moving into that, growing into that, living it out. And so it's very, very real. But one of the key things to grasp is that we are not dealing with people. They're not our enemies. It's the demonic forces that has captured people. And what God is teaching us is crucial to enable us to be able to not look at people from an earthly point of view, but once again to realize what Christ has done. They don't yet know it, and Satan has blinded their minds. And so we have weapons of warfare that's powerful, that demolishes these things. And so when we start to look at Isaiah 61 and we start to understand the incredible life of Jesus and how we are in Him, and the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon Jesus is upon us as His body, and we're involved with advancing the kingdom, we've got to understand we're not fighting people. See, if we start to fight people, we're getting into agreement with Satan, who's telling us, look at that, look at that, look at their faults, etc. And we get caught up with all of that. And this, we're not seated with Christ. We're so ground bound. And so when we are seated with Christ, we see the victory of Jesus. We see the weapons of Jesus, the resources that we have available for us. And we start to learn how to use those divine resources in setting people free and moving with the Holy Spirit in these areas. So in Hebrews, last night, let me go to chapter 4 first of all. I'm just asking the Lord about today and what's He wants to do. And He gave a sword. And in Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12, the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him whom we must give account. And what God is sharing to us is an incredible, powerful truth. And you've got to understand that the teaching now on righteousness is a living, powerful, the sword of God. It's alive, it's active, it's powerful. And it's dealing with the demonic realm of religion. It's dealing with people that have been taken captive by whatever religious system they may be in. Could be a church religion, it could be, different societies. There's so many different forms of religion that people are trying to relate to the spiritual realm. So we have been given a weapon now, this truth of righteousness, that is vital for us to wage war and to use it as the Holy Spirit leads us to be able to be involved in setting people free. We're dealing with roots right now. Remember, always go back to the two trees in the garden. The tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So the moment when Adam and Eve disobeyed God, and now, as we have been speaking many, many times now, all of a sudden there's that the Holy Spirit is removed from them, and so there's a spiritual death that now took place. Now for the first time they had a knowledge of good and evil. That's important. But the problem is, they were powerless to be able to deal with the power of sin now and the law of sin and death that was now operating within them. So now, can you imagine the torment from Adam and Eve, from what they understood and where they lived, and all of a sudden, now they've got a knowledge of what they have done, and they know what is good, they know what is evil. The gate is sealed by the angels, they can't get back to eat from the tree of life. Now they know, and there's nothing they could do about it, because they could not now get back to the tree of life. They needed God's intervention. Okay, that's the reality of religion. And so we see here when the Hebrew, right in the Hebrew, he's starting to speak, and he speaks about the reality of righteousness. And I'm going to read from verse 11, Hebrews 5, verse 11. We have much to say about this, but it's hard to explain because you are slow to learn. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers and need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. Can you understand why the body of Christ remains babes? They don't understand the revelation. They don't understand this incredible gift of righteousness and naha. So that word acquainted is to be equipped in it, to be experienced in it, to be able to handle the truth and to live in the reality of the truth of a gift that God has given to us through His Son Jesus. And that's the gift of righteousness. And then it carries on. But solid food is for the mature who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish between good from evil. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So here we're seeing the gift of righteousness, becoming acquainted with the truth of righteousness, learning how to apply that into your life. And as you learn how to apply that into your life, something takes place. Now you're able to distinguish between good and evil. Because there's a righteousness of God that's within us. Holy Spirit. So now we're able to discern. We're able to recognize. We're able to live in the reality of what righteousness is all about. Now we know what is true righteousness, what is true good, and what is true evil. Often the other day I'm listening to at the funeral, and this person speaking about the Word of God says, you mustn't judge anybody. But that's not really true. And that scripture there about first take the plank out of your own eye before you take the speck. You see, it's not about not judging, it's about judging righteously. You see, we must not judge unrighteously. We must not judge with the speck in our own, with a plank in our own eyes. It's unrighteous judgment. See, that's why understanding the gift of righteousness is vital for us to begin to be able to discern the works of the enemy. We can discern what's taking place. The people have been taken captive. We're dealing with a spiritual enemy that has taken captive the people. We need to understand how to start to put this and to start working. And that's what we're going to start to learn a bit more as we continue. But it's many, many people now, as you will notice, when you're starting to speak with people, they're always battling. They're always battling to be able to get victory in their lives. They're battling to be able to be accepted. They're battling to be able to know what love is. They're battling to be able to know, to deal with rejection. They're battling to know with all of these things simply because they're not acquainted with the truth of righteousness. So all the time it's milk, 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 milk. An army drinking milk will not last long. See, and that is why as an army of God, as we're rising up, as God, Jesus is equipping us and helping us to be able to be involved in setting a whole area free from a stronghold of religion, we need to understand the gift of righteousness and how to be rooted in that there. So we are not always wanting to try and be accepted. We're not always wanting to, oh no, the moment the enemy gives a backlash, oh no, you know, pity me kind of stuff. That has to stop. And that's why we've got to know and receive the gift. Lord, teach me what it's all about so that we can be established in that gift of righteousness. So again, I'm going to just recap a little bit, because there's a lot there that we just need to get established. And we're going back to Romans chapter 1, because this is such an incredible good news of God. We were speaking on Wednesday, just what do we understand by the word righteous? What does righteousness mean? And we know there that in the secular dictionary, righteousness is a standard of goodness, a moral goodness that is like accepted by all. And we notice that gets worse and worse. So goodness could be cannibalism. That's the morally good. There's some tribes that are just born and it's good to steal. See, so that's the standard. So human goodness, whatever that may be in their own eyes, is the standard of what is right in their community. But God is different because God is the standard. And it's the perfection of God. So here we notice the reality of, just go back to Adam and Eve when they disobeyed God. All of a sudden, they were aware of God's perfect standard, because they had a knowledge. They have a conscience that's now making that known, that we are made in the image of God, so we have an inner knowledge of the reality of God's standard, of God's perfection. And all the time falling short of that. So when we are dealing with God's perfection, we got to see in God that every thought of God is absolutely perfect. Never is there a part of God thinking that it got any form of darkness in it. It's absolutely pure perfection. All God's behavior, in the old covenant, new covenant, every action of God, absolutely, absolutely perfect. Every word that God speaks, absolutely perfect. No darkness, no lie, no deception, absolutely perfect. So all God's involvement in our lives is absolutely perfect. And all of us, because of the law of sin and death, because of the power of sin working within us, as Romans speaks, we all fall short of that. We cannot live according to God's perfect standard. And that's why Jesus, that's why this incredible gospel, this incredible good news of Jesus is so good. Because the Heavenly Father who so loved the world, when Adam and Eve sinned, He said, don't worry, He has the promise. And throughout history, Abraham, He has the promise. A Savior, a Deliverer is coming. The prophets in the Old Testament prophesying about the coming Messiah. All the time throughout the Old Testament, you see the words of God being released. Listen, there's going to be a new covenant. There's going to be something that's going to be much better. It's going to help you. It's going to help you to get free from the power of sin. So Jesus is born by the Holy Spirit. He is holy. Jesus lives a life where every thought, can you imagine growing up as a teenager, now Jesus as a teenager, every thought of Jesus is absolutely perfect. Never once fell short of God's perfection in the way God thinks. Is hope for the teenagers in Christ Jesus. See? Can you imagine our own lives, all our thoughts, to know that Jesus' thoughts were absolutely perfect because we could not have pure thoughts all the time? All the behavior, His interaction with people, His interaction with all the creation, with the land, everything about Jesus, the way He interacted with creation, absolutely, absolutely perfect. Never once did He deviate from God's standard of perfection. Never once. Because we couldn't do it. He is doing it for us. So all His words, all His actions, everything about our Lord Jesus Christ, every single moment from His birth right through to His death and resurrection, absolutely perfect. And He did it for us. And that's the reality of this incredible gospel. And that's why when Paul writes over here that I'm not ashamed of this gospel, because it is the power of God for salvation. The only power that is able to get mankind free from the knowledge of good and evil, free from whatever it is to try and come right with God, is Jesus Christ. That's why this gospel, that's why this sword is so beautiful, so powerful, because it's God's power. So when we're sharing the truth about righteousness, it's God's incredible power for salvation, so that people can get a revelation and be set free and from the demonic, from this power of sin and death, and come into the kingdom of God. And then he says over here, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it's the power of God for salvation for everyone who believes. First for the Jew, then for the Gentile, but for all mankind. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed. A righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. And here we see the incredible gift that you and I experienced when the moment came when the Holy Spirit made Jesus real to us. And we were, for me, I was aware of my imperfection, that's for sure. The Holy Spirit, because God draws us and we become conscious of our imperfection. And then in the revelation, and as Jesus comes and He meets with us there, we see Him as He is. And we just, wow, God, and we so appreciating and just able to just say, thank you. You lived a perfect life according to the Father's perfection, because I could not do that. And your involvement in my life, you're giving me a faith to believe. And the moment you and I receive Jesus Christ, the moment, thank you, Jesus, for taking my sin, whatever way, whatever you said, the moment we received Christ's perfection came into our account. And God said, now, I'm releasing. I'm giving you my son's perfection, which is my perfection. I'm giving to you as a gift. And from that moment onwards, we do not see, view any believer from a worldly point of view. Now we've got to look at believers from a place where God has put righteousness, He's credited to them to be righteous. And that will go a long way in helping us in how to minister to the believers, not yet the unbelievers, because we've got to realize they have not yet believed. But Christ has already paid the price. So the message of the gospel is the power of God for salvation. So we start to share the gospel so that they can believe and receive this incredible gift from God of His perfection we now receive. And the powerful truth about this is that God has now credited us with imputed, He's given His righteousness into our lives, but He's also placed it within us. So there's a new law of the Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is a righteous Spirit. Now we've got the reality of His righteousness in us, working within us. That's why we no longer are slave to sin, but now we are slave to righteousness. That's why the power of sin is no longer our reality. Now we are able to yield and say, yes, Holy Spirit, You are Lord in my life. And we are yielded to the Holy Spirit. Not only that, now that we've got His life within us, His righteousness within us, an interesting verse is in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 19. Let me read that quickly. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 19. This is that whole reality of a new creation. And it says over there that God was reconciling the world to Himself in Christ, not counting men's sin against them, and He has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. That's why we share the gospel. As though God is making His appeal through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. That's profound, that you and I have become God's righteousness. We have become God's righteousness. Peter writes in 2 Peter 1 verse 4 that we are partakers in his divine nature. This is big. To realize in an incredible miracle work of being a new creation in Christ Jesus, we have become God's righteousness. That's how he sees us. That's how he relates with you and I as believers. And that's why we need to renew our mind, because how do we see ourselves? That deals with the mindset, the sin consciousness, the condemnation, and all these things that we go through as believers. When we start to realize, but this miracle that being in Christ, we've become the righteousness of God. We have become the perfection of God. We are God's incredible handiwork to be on display for all to see this incredible grace that's upon our lives. And that's why we practice living righteously, which leads to holiness. That's why we practice living yielded to the Holy Spirit. Because the Spirit, one of the fruits of the Spirit is goodness. It deals with the religious goodness and brings in God's goodness, so that we know and we can distinguish between good and evil, because we've got God's goodness living within us. Incredible fruit of the Holy Spirit. So in Romans chapter 3, we carry on and we notice this incredible truth again. But now our righteousness from God apart from the law has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And the only way that we are justified, they are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that comes by Jesus Christ. God presented him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood. His blood speaks a better word, changes our destiny. He did this to demonstrate his justice, because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his justice at the present time, so as to be just. And he justifies those who have faith in Jesus Christ. So once again, we see over here that this incredible gift, how does it come? By faith. But that's not all. We can carry on. It's so much more. Let me just quickly read a few more scriptures, because it's a sword of the Spirit. And these are the scriptures that you can use as you share the gift, what the teaching of righteousness is all about. Therefore, since we have been justified, declared not guilty, through faith. This faith is a gift that God gave to us. We took hold of it. We were fully persuaded concerning the life of Jesus. And as a result, God put the righteousness of Christ, though we have his perfection, into our account. And as a result, now the Father says to you and I, not guilty. We have been justified. His past judgment already, you are not guilty, because we are in Christ Jesus. Therefore now we have peace with God. We don't have to run away. We don't have to hide like Adam and Eve hid. Now we have peace with God. We can approach the throne room with boldness. We can be seated with Christ in the heavenly realms because of the gift of righteousness. Through Him we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And that's the incredible reality of this gift of righteousness that we have received, which enables us to have access into this incredible realm of grace. God's full involvement in our lives as His children. No longer enemies. His full involvement. And then we carry on quickly here. And He speaks and He says over here, since then we have been justified by His blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through Him? For if we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to Him through the death of His Son. How much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through His life? Not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. And then He says something very, very important for us as He speaks about this. And He says over here, but the gift, this is the gift of righteousness, is not like the trespass. For if the many died by the trespass of one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by grace of that one man, by faith we have entered into this grace that we're speaking about here, how much more did God's grace and the gift that come by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many? Again, the gift is not like the result of the one man's sin. The judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation, but the gift followed many trespasses and brought justification. For if by the trespass of one man death reigns through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in His life, in life through this one man, Jesus Christ? And then when we carry on at the end of the chapter of here, so that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through the righteousness that brings eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then He speaks all about the reality of this, and He says we are no longer slaves to that old sinful nature, to unrighteousness, but we are now slaves to righteousness, and therefore we need to count ourselves dead to that. So in a nutshell, what we want to just close here, death reigned because of one man's sin. But because of Jesus and now the gift of righteousness, now grace reigns. And because we have entered into the realm of grace by faith, you and I are able to reign here in life. In life. This is God's life. We are able to reign. So when Paul writes in Galatians 2 verse 20, and he says there such an incredible truth, it is no longer I who live, because he's speaking in the context of the law and righteousness and the law, and etc. It's no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. And the life I live by faith. See, the gift of righteousness has brought us into living in the reality of Christ's very life. And there's the freedom. See, the gift of righteousness has brought us into the reality of living in the very reality of life that's eternal. The gift that we have received has taken us out of a destiny that was leading us to eternal death. Now He's brought us into a new destiny, and that is eternal life with the Heavenly Father. It's all a gift. But it's crucial, as you read over there, that if we don't understand that now we are participating in the very life of God, and now that power of sin is broken and there's a new law of the Spirit working within us, we will continually remain babies. Milk, milk, milk. because our focus will always be ground bound. But with this gift of righteousness, we understand the reality of being seated with Christ. Our spirit has been raised from the dead, and now we're living on the earth, but we're also living in the heavenly realms with Christ, and now we're able to have the victory because Christ has got the victory. We live with the power of His life operating within us. And that's the discipling, and that's the power. This is what God has set many, many believers free. Because as we shared, every single time where I agree, if I agree and I say to myself, for instance, man, I'm pretty useless. I've got into agreement with a demonic force, and I've given that demon power over my life. Because now I'm living by faith in what that agreement has been about. And my life will live, I'll live by that persuasion that I'm useless. But when I start to realize, but Jesus, your perfection is my perfection, you've given it to me as a gift, and now I begin to realize, but Jesus, when you died, I died. When you were raised, I've been raised, and I've been given this righteousness. Your perfection is who I am. All of a sudden, I'm getting into agreement with Jesus, with truth, and it's giving Holy Spirit great power in our lives, and we live by faith. So that's why renewing of our mind is so crucial. Otherwise, we remain trapped. We remain stuck, drinking milk all the time. So guys, we're in a war, a sword, a powerful truth that He's giving us as a sword to use is what righteousness is all about, to help many now come out of religion and to come into true life, to help many coming out of a religious faith or demonic faith or a human faith to come into a God faith. Because this God faith is alive. This God faith enables you to interact in the realm of grace. How do you know you've got God's grace? God's faith? Because you're experiencing God's grace. You're experiencing our Heavenly Father's intimate involvement in our lives. You're experiencing He's involved in every detail of our lives. Now you know that's the God faith that you're living in because you've entered into this realm of His grace. How do you know you're living in a religious faith? Well, you don't, God, where are you kind of thing. And there's this reality of being very conscious of your sins and mistakes. You have an understanding of what good and evil is there, but you can do nothing about that there. You're trying all the rituals to try and sort out this stuff that's having power in your life. That's a religious faith. How do you know you're living in a demonic faith? Same. Satan's a stealer. He's a destroyer. He takes life all the time. So that will be what becoming in your thoughts. And the suicidal tendencies, I'm useless tendencies, all the anti-Jesus tendencies, all of that, that's being fully persuaded. So you start to recognize. We want people to live in a God faith. It's full of life. Okay. And that comes from God, and it's the way we receive this incredible perfection of God for us. So we have confidence to enter into the throne room. Amen. I was sharing on Wednesday, for me it's like I celebrate the fact that all my shortcomings that I may have thought was perfect, you know, and to realize that in Jesus the reality of His perfection sorted all my failures. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17 and verse 18, it says over there that where the Spirit is Lord, and where the Lord is Spirit, and there's two ways of translating that. It could be Jesus, where He is Lord. But the favorable translation is there that where the Holy Spirit is Lord in your lives. We are yielded to the Holy Spirit. there is freedom. When the Holy Spirit speaks to you and I and we yield to the Holy Spirit, we're keeping in step with the Holy Spirit. We are living by the Holy Spirit. What takes place? The Holy Spirit reveals Jesus Christ to you and I. So that's why when we now have the Holy Spirit as Lord, and that He is new covenant reality of the Spirit, the veil is moved from our heart, and all of a sudden we can begin to see the real Jesus Christ. Religion has still got the veil. New covenant removes it. And as you and I begin to behold and we begin to just focus on Christ's perfection, and we begin to value and begin to receive and just honor Him who what He has done for us, because we couldn't have done that. What takes place? Jesus reveals the Father because He is the image of the Father. And now that we are gazing upon Jesus with unveiled faces and we can behold His beauty, behold His perfection, His righteousness, and that we have received as a gift, now we start to see our Heavenly Father through His Son loving us and saying, guys, you couldn't have done it. I sent my Son so that as you believe in Him, you can now receive His righteousness and become back to me, into my family. And then we start to worship God for His incredible love. And then we start to understand, for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only begotten Son, that whoever believed, persuaded in Him, has eternal life. But whoever does not believe, is not fully persuaded, stands condemned already, because they have not received the gift of righteousness, so that God can say, not guilty, because of Christ's perfection that we have received. So as we have the communion this morning, I think it's very appropriate for us just to focus on Jesus, thanking Him for His perfection. Yeah, let's do that. Father, thank You. Thank You, Lord Jesus, this morning for You being the perfect Lamb of God, the perfect sacrifice, unblemished. Thank You that You went on the altar. Thank You that our sin was placed upon You, You being our substitute. Thank You, Jesus, that You took our sin upon Yourself. But also we want to thank You for the incredible insight of the second goat, where You not only took our sin upon You, but You removed our sin away. And Father, therefore, in Your Son, You do not count our sin against us, because in Jesus it's been removed. So we want to thank You, Lord, for the power of Your blood. We want to thank You that in You, the Father has given us Your perfection, His righteousness. And we want to thank You, Holy Spirit, as You are in us, and as we train, as we become accompanied to the reality of Your incredible holy life within us. You are the righteous Holy Spirit. And as we yield to You, where You are Lord in our lives, as we keep in step with You, and we start to experience this incredible fruit, and one of that fruit is goodness. We start to live in the reality of God's goodness, the perfection of His goodness. It's within us. We want to thank You, Holy Spirit, in the mighty working of this being born again, the reality that we participate, Lord Jesus, in Your divine nature. We participate, Father, in Your divine nature by our Holy Spirit. And we want to thank You for the joy and the freedom. We want to thank You for this kingdom of priests that has been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ to be able to rule. We want to thank You for an army, Lord Jesus, Your army that You are sharing and equipping and establishing us in truth, so that we can walk in Your glory. We can walk with our heads held high, not in shame. But we can walk in You, Jesus, because we belong to You. We are in You. So I want to thank You for this mighty army that we see rising up. We want to thank you for the breastplate of righteousness that you are helping us to be established in, Lord Jesus. So the very core, our very heart, our very soul, our very spirit, everything about us is learning to be so one with this incredible gift of righteousness. We want to thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are giving us this incredible belt of truth. Lord Jesus, your truth that's wrapped around us. You are the way, incredible truth in our life. And it's such a joy to be belted in with you, Jesus, to be able to walk in truth. We want to thank you right now for the incredible shield of faith that has grown as we take hold of the faith that you have given us, your faith. You're the author and perfecter. And as you shared on Friday, Lord Jesus, we want to thank you that your shield, your faith, is like an atmosphere over a town where people are believing. It's like a protection layer. And we want to thank you with this incredible shield of faith. Your blood speaks a better word. And so we thank you that your blood is going through the shadows, going through the echoes, going through the darkness, and is speaking a better word to the people of Metsimaholo, that they will get a revelation, Father, as you draw them. So we thank you for believers that believe and has created an atmosphere of faith so that your Holy Spirit is working, and many, many people now will start to respond as you draw them to your Son, Jesus Christ, so they can come to know you. So Lord, thank you for involving us in something that is full of life and full of meaning and full of purpose. Thank you for involving us in the life of your kingdom. Thank you so much for taking us out of darkness and bringing us into your kingdom, that we can be involved in setting the captives free. We can be involved in having good news to the poor. We can be involved in healing the brokenhearted. We can be involved in seeing oaks of righteousness being established, and the fruit from that oak of righteousness to be able to feed nations, that many can come and eat the fruit of this incredible tree and planting and oaks of righteousness. And we want to thank you, Jesus, for calling us. We want to thank you, Lord Jesus, for placing us in the towns that we are in, because you love the people. And as we again participate with you, Lord, it's not just a communion, it's not just having something to eat, but Lord, this is participating with you and getting excited with you and what you are doing, and involving us as your hands, as your body, to be able to walk in the reality of your glory, of your anointing, to be able to be used and to be part of what you're wanting to do, so that our Father, your Father, our Father is so glorified as the fruit is so evident. So we want to thank you for the fruit of righteousness that we are going to start seeing. But I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will give us the strength, you will give us the courage, you will, when times when we just feel a bit weak, Holy Spirit, you intercede, you are a helper, and we're going to need you all the time to guide and to lead. We're going to need you, Holy Spirit, to give us songs that is needed at this time. We're going to need you to give us insights that's needed. Sometimes we're going to have to sing over people. Sometimes we're going to have to speak over people. Sometimes we've got to, there's an action. There's something that we've got to be doing, Lord Jesus, that carries the power of righteousness, and that fruit is what they need to experience. So we want to thank you. Holy Spirit, you're taking us. And I want to thank you that I see you just taking us deeper. We're getting established in the gift of righteousness. I want to thank you. It's no longer just words. It's no longer just a fridge magnet. But I want to thank you, Holy Spirit. You're right on our hearts. That's the joy of your ministry, writing on our hearts. And this is getting established deep and deep and deep, because our hearts are receiving. Our hearts are opened. So I thank you, Lord Jesus, for the incredible fruit that's going to come from what you've been sharing in the past few weeks concerning the gift of righteousness. So we thank you for that. Lord, at this time, again, as we drink and we eat, we want to just release over the families We want those that are listening in their homes later on. Jesus, your blood speaks a better word. And we loose your blood to change the destinies of many, many people. We release your blood into their lives so that as they hear, as that we sang that song, history is being changed. So the next generations that are coming, even their present situation and the following generations, we want to thank you for the blood of Jesus, your blood, Lord, that speaks a better word. And we receive the power, the life, and we release it into all who are listening. And we want to thank you. This blood of Jesus is so powerful. Sword of the Spirit is so active, so alive. Not ashamed of the gospel. Not ashamed of using the sword of the Spirit. For it is the power of God for salvation. So Father, thank you. And today we just sit here, we honor you, and give you the praise and the glory through your Son Jesus. Amen.